And he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, did not nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who did not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" This ends the reading of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. God loves us with a complete, full, and perfect love. There was no time in our past, no time before today, when God loved you more than he does today. And there will be no time in the future when God loves you more than he does today. So we are gathered here in worship to praise God who loves us completely and fully. As was mentioned, we're completing the book of Jonah today. We're looking at the final chapter. And I hope that as I've presented this over the last few weeks, that some of my passion for the book has come out. And you have seen my love for the Lord God in what he teaches us about himself in the book of Jonah. One time when I was a child of about 9 years of age, and my September birthday was approaching, my parents came to me and said, "Mark, what would you like for your birthday?" I didn't have to think about it. I said, "I want a 10-speed bike for my birthday." My parents said, "Fine, that's great. We will get you a 10-speed bike for your birthday." I ran and got the catalog and opened it up and showed my parents the picture. It was circled already. For those of you who don't know, a catalog is what we used before we used the internet and Google and Amazon.com. I was so excited because I was going to be the first person in my family to have a 10-speed bicycle. My parents didn't have 10-speed bikes. My younger brother and my younger sister, of course, didn't have a 10-speed bike. And most importantly, my older brother, who was 2.5 years older than me, did not have a 10-speed bike. So I had to be sure, and I said to my parents, "Now, you're not just going to buy me a 10-speed bike and buy Andrew a 10-speed bike at the same time so that we both get 10-speed bikes." And they said, no, we might get him a 10-speed bike for Christmas, but in September, you're getting a 10-speed bike for your birthday. I was so excited. I was so happy. Yes, the number one person in my family to get a 10-speed bike. And then it all fell apart. A couple weeks before my birthday, my Aunt Edith thought it would be a really nice gesture to buy a 10-speed bike for my older brother. I was furious. I told my parents, "It's not fair. I was going to be the one to have the first 10-speed bike in the family, and Aunt Edith went and bought a bicycle for Andrew." My dad tried to explain it to me and tried to calm me down a little bit and said, it's her money. She can buy a bike for anybody she wants to. Didn't make a difference to me. My dad said to me, the milkman can buy a bike and give it to your older brother. It's whatever he wants to do. You can't control that. I didn't know what a milkman was, but I've since come to learn that a milkman is somebody who brought milk to your door before there were catalogs. I was not happy with my parents. It was a time that I could have been happy. I should have been happy. I was getting a gift through no work of my own, through no effort. I was being given a bike, and I should have been thrilled at that. And yet all I could see was my brother was getting a bike before me, and I didn't like it. It had nothing to do with me. But really, when you're 9 years of age, everything has to do with you. Jonah was in a similar situation in Jonah chapter 4. As we come to the last chapter of the book of Jonah, the story's not over. The book is not finished. Chapter 3 could have ended with, and they lived happily ever after, but it didn't. Jonah once again brought the word of the Lord to Nineveh. The people repented, and everything could have gone well, but it did not. Jonah was not happy. As we come to the last chapter, we again see the balance of the book of Jonah. Chapters 1 and chapters 3 begin with God's call to Jonah. In chapter 1, Jonah was called to go up to Nineveh. Jonah responded in disobedience. In chapter 3, Jonah once again was called to go to Nineveh, and he went to Nineveh. But there's more to the story that we find in chapter 4. In chapter 2, Jonah was punished for his disobedience and found himself inside a great fish, fighting for his life, despairing of everything. Jonah chapter 4, Jonah's in a worse situation, a worse problem. We all know the book of Jonah because we think the book of Jonah is about a great fish. Jonah was in great need in chapter 2. God rescued him. But in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah's need is even greater. Jonah's need is more dire than him being in a great fish because his heart was wrong. His heart was in the wrong direction. He didn't understand God's love. He didn't like God's love. It's not until Jonah chapter 4 that we find out why it was that Jonah ran the wrong direction when God called him to go up to Nineveh. Why did he go the wrong direction? It wasn't that he didn't believe God. It wasn't that he didn't understand God. It's because his heart was filled with hatred. He didn't want Nineveh to repent and be forgiven. When he heard the news that Nineveh was going to be destroyed, he probably said, yes, wonderful, Nineveh's going to be destroyed, and I'm thrilled about that. When God called him to go and warn the people of Nineveh that they were to be destroyed, Jonah was not happy about that at all. He went the wrong direction, not because he didn't believe God, but because he didn't love the people of Nineveh. God is loving. God loves all he has made. For us to truly understand God and understand the depths of his love, we need to appreciate this love that he has for his whole world. God loves you and me. Our relationship with God is something very personal. But God doesn't just love us. God loves all he has made. And we see that in the book of Jonah. God loved the sailors in Jonah chapter 1. The sailors who were in a rickety old boat and threatened with death because a big storm came up. God saved them because salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah, when he was in the belly of a great fish, cried out to God. He was in need. His situation was dire. And God loved him. and God enabled him to survive because salvation comes from the Lord. The city of Nineveh needed to repent. They needed to get away from the destruction that God was going to bring about upon them. They repented. God relented because salvation comes from the Lord. That's the depths of God's love. God provides, God gives, God rescues, God is love. Jonah, however, didn't get that lesson. Through three chapters of his life, he didn't get the lesson. He was filled with hatred. And even after the people of Nineveh repented, and he did what he was supposed to do, he went up and watched the city, thinking, well, you know, maybe destruction will still happen. Maybe my deepest desires that they will be destroyed, that'll be carried out. And it didn't. And Jonah relented. Jonah hated his life. He wanted to die. It's better for me to die than to not see my enemies destroyed. Jonah was upset. Jonah looked at the people of Nineveh and said, why do they get a bicycle? Why do they get one before me? Jonah couldn't look at his own situation and say, hey, I got a bicycle myself. God responded to it. God responded to show the people, to show us, to show history of his love. God showed his love for Jonah, but also showed Jonah his love for all of his world, all of his creation. God enabled a plant to grow up and give him shade. Jonah liked it. Jonah appreciated it. Jonah felt the shelter. And then, as happens, life changes. Events, circumstances change. The plant died, and Jonah was frustrated. Jonah was angry at God. The plant has been taken away from me. And God responded, if you care for this plant that just sprang up, gave you a little bit of shade, and then disappeared. You care for that plant that you didn't have any part of, that you didn't prepare, that you didn't make, that you didn't tend to. You care for that. How much more don't I care for my whole creation? God loves everything he made. And I think we get that. When we make something, we care about it. I went to a conference one time and we did an art project. And there was a group of 20 or 30 of us and a leader. And the leader led us through an instruction and said, you know, we're going to do this art creation. And everybody in the group took some modeling clay and some paper and made a little model. And at the end of the evening, the teacher went around and collected all of the modeling clay and slammed it back together into balls. I was horrified. I'd spent half an hour making this creation that I was really proud of, and the teacher and the leader came along and took it all away. God is like that. He understands. He loves what he made. So great is his love that he loves children, that he loves all the people that he created, and he also loves animals. I don't know if you noticed, but the book of Jonah ends with the word animals. In the original Hebrew, the last word is animals. That's a horrible way to end a book. The writer's obviously not following convention, because if anybody studies Shakespeare, if anybody knows how stories are supposed to be created, the most important characters who are still alive are the final people on stage. And the most powerful person gets the last word in a Shakespearean play or in a good story. The most important person speaks last. The last word of the book of Jonah is animals. Animals. So great is God's love for his world that even animals are important to him. The message of Jonah is important for us today, but it's first and foremost a message for ancient Israel. For when God's people received the book of Jonah, they had just been released from Babylon. Their sins had been so great that they had been carted down to Babylon in captivity to serve as slaves for the Babylonian Empire. As the book of Jonah is released to them and shared with them, God's people have been released from Babylon, been able to return home and enjoy the promised land. But there was a problem. There was a problem with the people of Israel. They were coming from Babylon, and they still smelled like Babylon. In the same way that Jonah was vomited out onto dry land and still smelt like vomit as he was walking into Nineveh and preaching against them, in the same way the people of Israel had been captured, conquered by Babylon, taken into Babylon for a while, and then released. And as God's people returned to the promised land, they still hadn't fully learned their lesson. They still didn't fully understand the love of God. They still had hatred toward Babylon. They still had hatred toward other people. They were repentant. They learned their lesson, but they still had growth for them. God's love is demonstrated in redemptive history in that God led his people through the experiences of the Old Testament, provided for the people time and time again, and led to a time when Jesus could be revealed to our world, so that through Jesus Christ, we may have our sins completely forgiven. Our misunderstandings, our lack of love, our lack of understanding the depths and the breadth of God's love is forgiven in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, in the same way that Jonah was for 3 days in the belly of a great fish, in the same way he would be killed and spend 3 days in the depths of the earth. And that was fulfilled in his crucifixion and resurrection. So that today we serve a God who not only speaks about love, who not only demonstrates love, but instructs us and enables us to be loving by taking our sin away from us completely and fully. So as we come to the book of Jonah, we wonder, what happened to Jonah after this? Where did it lead? Did Jonah finally understand or not? We're left to wonder. Did Jonah learn eventually? Maybe. The question is for us as well. Do we understand God's love? Do we appreciate the profound love that God has for his whole world? For you and me? For children? For foreign nations? For animals? For nature? For all that God made? Because there is no part of creation that God doesn't look at it and say, that's mine. That's mine. I love it. So we can appreciate God's love for us, but we can also understand God's love for others and for everything. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we thank you that you embody love. Thank you that you are our sure standard of what it means to love and be love. Help us to fully comprehend that. And as we go through this week and encounter different challenges, we pray that we would see you in and through all of the events of our lives. Because we know and we confess that you love us. You go with us. We are yours. We belong to you, and you claim us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.